infrastructure and support that could support their work. And also, as a foundation, we were able to then bring other people who were funding into that space. So yeah, that's been my experience with the kind of work we've done. We work in the arts, we work in education, we work with disabilities, we work with livelihoods, and of course, through the Mumbai Ekatra program with Citizen Action. And all of these, across these various areas, we select projects that may be new, that may be experiments. We work very much in a trust-based, long-term community kind of way.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses, professionals, and of course, philanthropists who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YouTube Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. Welcome to the fourth season of Catalyzing Change, The Power of Philanthropy, in collaboration with GivingPie, India's first family-focused philanthropy network. Dasra's research on philanthropy highlights that Indian families are an integral part of the Indian economy, contributing approximately 40% to private philanthropy. They contribute through personal giving and CSR initiatives by family-owned and family-run businesses. As wealth increases and transitions across generations, Indian families are reshaping the philanthropic landscape through investments in bold ideas, funding newer focus areas, and taking a more intentional, system-focused approach to giving. Over the last few seasons, we have spotlighted how philanthropists are stepping up in often overlooked spaces, from mental health and gender equity to animal welfare and the arts. In season 4, which is this season, we look to the future. Through conversations with philanthropists and change makers, we will explore emerging trends, fresh approaches, and what they signal for the evolving future of Indian philanthropy. This episode explores a growing movement of citizen-led change where communities are stepping up to address challenges they face on multiple local issues. Philanthropy is beginning to recognize and support these efforts, which are vital to building more inclusive and resilient cities. One such example is the Kheersagar Apte Foundation, or KAF, whose initiative Mumbai Ekatra supports citizen-led initiatives addressing urban challenges across Mumbai's diverse communities. Joining us for this episode is Swati Apte. Swati currently heads a leadership firm, The Arts Quotient, coaching business leaders to enhance their leadership skills, performance, and career development. Swati brings a unique blend of experiences with an academic background from Oxford University and Harvard Business School, and a former role as a consultant at McKinsey & Company. She has also been actively involved in the social sector, having worked closely with several not-for-profits, including Swadhar, Educate Girls, the World Monuments Fund, and Aspire Institute. Swati is also founder of the Kheersagar Apte Foundation, which supports causes across education, gender, livelihoods, urban development, and arts and culture. Welcome, Swati. Delighted to have you with us.
Nice to be here, Gaurav. Thank you for having me.
Swati, you come with a very, very different background for the kind of work that you are currently doing. You know, you from Oxford to Harvard, and of course, the apotheosis of the highest state of consulting and strategy and decision-making in business, McKinsey & Company. What triggered this transition? What was behind? Was there something that happened? Was there some kind of a trigger that prompted you to transition into the world of philanthropy? Because this is a very different world from solving, you know, giving problem, giving solutions to very complex business problems, now actually solving very fundamental social sector problems. What shaped your values and approach along the way? And what was behind this move and a pivot, if I may say so, Swati?
You know, Gaurav, for me, it was less of a pivot. When I was growing up, my father had a regular job in a bank. My mother worked in a school, but they did a lot of volunteer work. My dad father did a lot of work with Mother Teresa. I grew up in Calcutta. And I remember even as children, we were taken there to volunteer. I remember the sort of care and dignity in her work and how she worked with the community. But we were put to all sorts of things. So the group of people that I grew up with, whether they were doctors or bankers or lawyers, they seemed to find time to volunteer on the weekends. And you know, all these titles that we now have of private sector, social sector, even otherwise, is not something I grew up with. It was people did, you had to earn a living, so that's what they did. But they also did this work, and we were just brought along. I think as children, sometimes we were just cheap labor. So I remember having to help in a community clinic with a friend of my parents who was a doctor. I remember having to volunteer regularly for park cleanups, having to volunteer with educational organizations. And that sort of continued. I went to Xavier's in Bombay, and there too, we were, you know, put to work. There was a social service league. So through college, I did a lot of volunteering. I was studying economics, and I think having to study economics meant that, you know, when we did projects, I did the economics of waste management. So I was sent off by the economics department to do research at the BMC and track garbage trucks. I did a project with a RBI economist, which all sounds fancy, but was really looking at a lot of data around non-performing assets in sort of rural India. So this constant exposure to issues or having to engage with it was very real. My husband, and the foundation is something we set up together. My husband had his own journey. He'd go off on his summer vacations to his grandparents in Bangalore. And every single day of his summer vacation, he would accompany them to the NAB, the National Association of the Blind, which they had set up and were working at. And all his childhood memories are also of having to be a scribe or help out in some of the capacity building they were doing. So I don't think for us it was a pivot of sorts. I think in the way that we were both raised, we both saw it very much as an integral part of what our families did. They did earn a living. they had regular jobs. But it was interesting that they found these other projects or work where they seemed to find purpose, community, a lot of friends. And so I think that's what we always saw. And I think for us, therefore, it was just a continuation of the same.
Wonderful, Swati. You know, very inspirational, if I may say so. Can you tell us a little bit more about your family foundation? What inspired its creation, and how has it evolved over the years? What is it something that you have discovered along the way after the foundation was formed? And has there been any learnings from it, or something that you have discovered probably you could not anticipate or maybe even imagine, Swati?
So, you know, the foundation came later. As I said, the work is probably something we were exposed to as very young in our lives. And I would say in terms of philanthropy, again, you know, Gaurav, I have to say these are labels I've learned over time. But when we did it, was the first check that Alok and I ever wrote was at our wedding. The gifts that we'd got, we had by then both had jobs. And so our families advised us to sort of take what we had and just give it away. And I remember we wrote that first check the night of our reception to the National Association of the Blind, which is what our families had been associated with. And the giving has always been something that we have done ever since. We want to be married for 25 years. So I think always as a percentage of our income, we would give it to causes, both sort of big causes that we cared about, but also often find something local to where we lived. And we've lived in many places. We've lived in New York, in Boston, now in Mumbai. But there was always something that was community-driven, and then, of course, sort of things like disabilities or the arts or education, which was things we were interested in. What also happened fortuitously early in my career at McKinsey is Ashoka, which is the Ashoka, Bill Drayton Ashoka, which is based in DC. We did a strategy project for them, and I happened to be on that project and got to spend 3 months in India looking at, you know, assessing what the market place, quote unquote, for the social sector looked like. And that was an incredible exposure because it really got me to meet change makers around the country, got me to meet foundations, and got me to meet policymakers to be able to do that strategy piece for them. And so gave me a real sense of the landscape of the of sort of social sector work in India. And parallelly, as we were doing our own philanthropy, we realized that we really wanted to get to know these issues closer. So having had this broad landscape, then being able to identify things that we could go deeper into. And, you know, if I think about sort of where the actual foundation came was much later, but what we began to feel even personally is it was, you know, you can look at things programmatically, you realize that large organizations have capacity and bandwidth to raise funds, do outreach, but the smaller ones don't. And so really, as a family, we were sort of uniquely positioned to do trust-based, patient, long-term experiments with smaller organizations. And so our focus increasingly began to move towards that, right? Supporting small organizations in what maybe they were trying something new. And as we were giving money, we were also inviting sometimes friends to give money because that's what that particular initiative needed. So this is how it was for almost, I'd say, 10, 12 years. And then in 2012, we finally actually established a foundation because we realized that if we were inviting other people to give money, we might have the faith, but we needed to be able to give them transparency. And maybe it was helpful if, as a foundation, we could help the field organizations do the report writing. We could build the capacity to do that, to monitor. And that's why we set up a foundation. And then when COVID happened, was the first time that we as a foundation partnered at scale with so many organizations. So we did relief work with ration and medical support for about 700 families in Mumbai for a full year. And that sort of work, I realized that we could not have done just directly. It was good that we had a foundation and we could do it through that. Now we're working on capacity building for young people who are just out of college, getting them set up for jobs, careers, and, you know, onboarding them onto a better future. Again, there I feel we're able to do it because we're a foundation, we can be a trusted intermediary. So, you know, we as a foundation, because we're a foundation, I realized that we could take a longer term view, we can come in and support for multiple years. Many of the organizations that we work with were so small that they actually, rather than having individual money, to have foundation money help them have somebody who had more infrastructure and support that could support their work. And also, as a foundation, we were able to then bring other people who were funding into that space. So yeah, that's been my experience with the kind of work we've done. We work in the arts, we work in education, we work with disabilities, we work with livelihoods, and of course, through the Mumbai Ekatra program with Citizen Action. And all of these, across these various areas, we select projects that may be new, that may be experiments. We work very much in a trust-based, long-term community kind of way.
You know, it's very heartening to hear from you, all the work that you're doing. And let's narrow it down a bit. Let's talk about a little bit about KF's Mumbai Ekatra initiative, which is essentially about empowering citizens to take action on local issues. And that is so essential and so critical for India's cities and towns and the way at the pace at which we are urbanizing, and also a lot of issues that largely has remained unaddressed or had become low priority areas while planning for these urban areas. This is something that is, this comes as a whiff of fresh air, the initiative, the Mumbai Ekatra initiative. What inspired you to launch such a program, Swati?
So, you know, Gaurav, having worked in this space now for 20 years, I've also seen really how the conversation has shifted so much to be about scale, about being programs, and really looking at solutions. The size of this country is such that you have to think large. And I do think that that is very important. But I think in that conversation, somewhere we've begun to dismiss that kind of local, very community-based effort that really addresses multiple ever-changing needs of a community, right? And I personally have some discomfort with that because I feel like the conversation around scale can be you know, very unidimensional. And then when COVID happened, it was really clear how vital that kind of community effort was. So during COVID, like many of us did, I volunteered, and I personally, as well as the foundation, we worked to support the city, whether it was with food, with medicine, and sometimes, you know, even just neighbors giving community the emotional support because their own families were far away. And I felt like it was a real pivotal moment for us as a foundation, because actually for us as individuals and therefore as a foundation, because we realized that it was actually citizens that came forward. When institutions couldn't come forward, when so many sort of government systems, organizations, our, you know, corporate structures couldn't work, it was individuals that came forward and helped each other. And so I think what began to happen for us is we said, while a lot of the conversation, particularly around CSR, has to be around programs, has to be around scale, how can we, in our own, you know, because we are a family foundation and have that flexibility, really pivot to making it about local community initiative. And that's what was really the birth of the Mumbai Ekatra program. And the program is about multiple things. Number one, it's about that initiative to solve a problem, right? It's about taking a stake in the place that you live in. It's really about coming Ekatra. That's a big part of the program and how we select for grants. We're not interested in the sole crusader. We're really interested in how you bring a community together. And I think for third, for us, it's really about the hope and a little bit of the indignation that we can collectively make things better. We don't need an outside system, whether it's government, whether it's an NGO, that we can do this. The way the program works is it's really seed grants. And again, because we're a family foundation, it allows us to be flexible. We collaborate with many, many organizations around the city. Even the basic outreach we have to do through so many partners. And it's a seed grant for somebody who's a citizen or a group of citizens who have an idea. And we hope to get them to proof of concept. We bring in a mentor who can help them develop that idea and implement it. And eventually, we connect them to bigger funds, right? It's interesting that sometimes, of course, you know, the experiment works, and we've had people who've been in the program in the first year who now have full organizations and have sort of continued to do that, though their programs and expand them. But even at its most elemental, it really what it does is we think there are people in the city or anywhere that really set out to solve their own problems. And that's super powerful. And what we really mean to do is just nurture that spark. It is about the city and the community, but it is also about that individual, because we feel that if there is a young person who has seen the possibility of what it takes to build a group, to engage with problem solving and an issue that they face, you know, what it means to engage with a government or an entity or a cooperator, something of that experience is going to remain and they're going to do great things with it. We've had a variety of people who've gotten grants. And we've now run this program multiple years. So I would say there are about 35 grantees over a period of time. And they have brought so many different ideas and done some incredible work. Some of them, one was who simply came together to help fill all the forms and the BMC sort of, you know, various formalities to get one community formalize their water connections. And this seems like a very elemental thing. It's because, you know, these are people who are uncomfortable with just dealing with administration and going into offices. But 2,000 families in the city have formal water connections. And there's something about what that does in terms of enabling them to be really participating citizens. And all it took was a group of college students just showing up, filling forms, going in and engaging with the BMC to make sure that the process was followed. We've had a journalist in Thane who got a group of 25 rag pickers, women rag pickers. He got a grant because he wanted to teach them all driving and get them driver's licenses. And then eventually we connected them to having their own vehicle. And just that upskilling has moved them to a different vocation and a different way of living a much more dignified life. There was a theater group and a psychologist who came together to increase mental health awareness across colleges. They did 70 programs with that seed money we gave them. Then there was a group of 12 to 15 year olds. In fact, when they came to us, said, "We don't want a grant, we want a mentor. Can you help us connect to somebody?" And the work they did is they set up waste segregation in their street, and that has sustained way beyond the period of the grant. And then finally, we've had multiple groups of, you know, self-help groups who put women together in the city, taught them some vocation. Nazaria is one of those groups. And they have then given them a vocation, helped them make things, and connected them to markets, and that, and through that just made communities of women self-reliant. So there have been a range of ideas. They have all come from citizens, and they have each in their own ways truly impacted the communities they live in.
It's very interesting examples that you cite here, Swati, you know, and how simple upskilling, like enabling people and arming them with driving skills, that actually powered upward mobility and opened up a whole new world of opportunities. And these are very powerful examples, Swati. You know, tell me something about some of the challenges that you may have faced in your journey with Mumbai, with this initiative. And can you highlight some learnings you have had along the way? Because I'm sure there has been a bit of a rough and tumble. It may not have been as steady as many would have anticipated, isn't it?
It hasn't been easy. However, like, wonderful it's been. You know, we got into it, I'll be honest, to say, look, we are philanthropists. We are best positioned to do this. We are able to be patient. We are able to be flexible. We don't have to write reports for CSR. So this is going to, we are the right people to do this. But, you know, you realize that even for people like Alok and me, who are very, very close to the organization, so we see a lot of work in the community. Eventually, we are a funder organization and not a programmatic organization. So we don't often have, we don't in-house have the bandwidth to run programs. And so what our biggest learning, Gaurav, has been is that is collaborate. So while, you know, we can do the grant making, for actually going out there and even outreach, even putting the word out and making sure that people apply for this grant, we have sort of worked with groups who work on the ground, whether it's from TFI to so many local NGOs, to even resident associations, right, who now we work more formally with the Blue Ribbon Movement, theater groups. Like, it has really made us go out and get to know the city. But I would say that was a big challenge, that, you know, while we had this idea, when it actually came to execution, being able to go out there, find the right partners, be inviting about the process, that, you know, we all participate, they all came with their ideas, they all came with their concerns. And how do you create a space that can be equal for all of us to do together? We didn't all have the expertise necessarily to know whether they were good ideas. We didn't have the expertise necessarily to mentor. And so even for that, we've partnered and put, you know, teams together. We are very, very good at asking for favors, what I can say. So we brought in, you know, the part of the committee that makes these choices, whether it's Parina Lamba or Smarinta Shetty or Sapan Saran. They've all come in with experience. They all understand community work. And they've brought other people to be mentors to many of the grantees, because not only is it about giving the grant, but then it's about holding the hand for that group to take it from an idea to actual fruition. We've had to find, when the program runs, and then eventually when we have the showcase, we've had to work with colleges. We've got teams of young volunteers. And I would say, you know, if you say, what are the things that we've learned? Number one is collaboration. The second one is to, you know, when you seed a new program, and particularly a community program, is to be super patient. It takes a while, right? Even in our design, we've now run it for 4 years. You've got to give it that time. You've got to know that it will evolve. It will need some reiteration. Some teams will change. Some partners will change. You'll do things differently about outreach. So give it, take a long view rather than one-off, this program has to succeed. And I'd say the third is to really be flexible. Because you said we set out with an idea, we thought of we were going to call for grants, everything was going to work elegantly. It doesn't always, but to have faith, to have patience, and to be flexible in that design and to really evolve it, we've had to listen to the communities that we serve. So for us, it's not give a grant and then, you know, ask a lot of questions. It's give a grant, then the group will, you know, really collaborate with the group and be thought partners through our mentors on what is the issue, where are you struggling, can we help you, you know, course correct. Because eventually it isn't just about your grant and the grantee, it's really about the community that you're trying to impact. And so to think of these two entities, you and the grantee, as really partners in solving that problem. So I would say the challenges have been, how do you, even if you feel like the community is very local to where you are, you still need a lot of stakeholders to get involved. So how do you collaborate? Being very, very patient and thinking long term and you know, taking that view. And the third is to just continuously be flexible, keeping in mind that it's eventually the community that you want to address.
You know, see, three things: collaborate, take a long view, and be flexible, which brings me to the last question. Let's take a long view towards 2047, and the government has set a Bharat Vision 2047 by 2047, which is a goal that aspirational goal, if I may say so, at this point in time. But that is something that every Indian should aspire for. But having said that, you know, what role do you think? Because it has to be many of these things that you are involved in, and if we have to be a really developed country by 2047, then the citizens will have to be active participants in many of these things, which is kind of, you know, underlines the element of collaboration that you have alluded to. What is it that, in your view, what role do you think citizen-led efforts can play towards the achievement of being a developed country, Viksit Bharat, by 2047? And more, you know, specifically, what are the concrete steps that funders can take to support such efforts?
You know, Gaurav, everyone from Gandhi to Modi has sort of said more elegantly than I will and more eloquently than I will how empowering local is really where the power of this country is, right? And I think, you know, citizenry, this notion of being a citizen is really eroded as we sort of begin to live more in silos. So many of the services that we get today get increasingly privatized, right? So I think when you have to think like be a nation, you do need to create more and more common ground. And while I feel like education, healthcare, these are, you know, huge problems and we need to solve them for people in numbers, I think the citizenship is also about that space, like you said, about being, you know, inclusive, about being resilient. Those are sort of spaces that you create when communities feel connected and communities feel engaged with each other. And, you know, think about the Mohalla Samitis that were formed in Mumbai in the 90s and the impact it had on, say, communal violence in the city. So many experiments have been tried. And I feel like while it's important to give money to the big issues, I think it's also from a sense of citizenship important to give for foundations. And I think foundations, I keep coming back to, because family foundations and individual philanthropy is the most flexible and can be the most patient and does not have the constraints of reporting along only these set parameters. I think they can put money to thinking about how do you seed citizenship, right? Whether it's making young people more aware of what their civic duty and their rights are, whether it means creating this kind of program that we have with Mumbai Ekatra, where you engage within your community and make change. I think there is a real role for family foundations to support this kind of local grassroots effort to see them grow. I mean, it has to start somewhere. We have been involved with Educate Girls right from when it started. And now, of course, you know the size and scale of it. But young organizations, when they first start, don't often have the clarity or the articulation. It takes some time, and to be there and to be patient in the beginning, I think, is really important to trust those different stakeholders that get involved. I think even if it doesn't become a huge program, I think to be able to support young people, when they have that spark, have tried something in their communities, builds a certain confidence, builds a faith, builds a sense of community, and that there is merit in working together. And I think that is the whole thing about Viksit Bharat, right? Where you want to have a united country, you work collaboratively for a better future. And I think the magic word is collaborative, and that comes from such community efforts.
Thank you, Swati. Thank you so much for sharing a deep insight and perspective on a range of issues. And many congratulations for the work that you are doing. Thank you so much for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you, Gaurav. Thank you for inviting me again.